know that Dalton probably doesn't know how much in line the song service was for tonight. And I keep wanting to get away from Nehemiah, and we might do that next week. But as for right now, we're going back to Nehemiah chapter number 9, all right? Nehemiah chapter number 9. And I thought I was going to be done at building the wall. Once the walls got built, I mean, what else is there to do? Last week we talked about maintaining the walls. We talked about having a godly authority. If we were going to maintain the walls that we have built, we have to have a godly authority. We have to have godly accountability. We was going to have godly associations. Remember that? And let's see, what was the other one? Godly adoration. We needed to keep God in the forefront. And those were the four points from last Wednesday night. But we've been talking about building the walls. And in essence, we've been talking about the circumstances around our life. Okay? As we built the walls and as we talked about clearing the rubbage, and I hope we talked about that. I've taught it so many times, but we got to clear out debris. We have to do things to get back to a foundation and build upon. And what we've been talking about for the last few weeks really pertains to circumstances around our life, okay? We've talked about building them walls and making sure that the enemy can't get in to our life. And so last week we were talking about how to maintain the walls, but this week I want to start it off by making a statement of this. It wasn't the integrity of the walls that caused the walls of Jerusalem to fall. It was the lack of integrity in the hearts of the people. I'm going to say that again. It wasn't a question of the integrity of the walls causing them to fall around Jerusalem. It was a matter of the integrity of the hearts of the people. That's the reason the walls fell. Is everybody with me? All right, so we can look at circumstances around our life all we want to, but until we take a good look at us, then the walls are susceptible to falling again. Is everybody, man, that's good. I don't care who you are, all right? And she's down here on the second row. Just come on, find her. It's all right. Hey, but until we deal with what's here, then we are still open to the walls of our life crumbling. Is everybody with me? All right, now we're going to talk about something, and man, I believe it. I believe this is where God wants us tonight. We're going to talk about something that a lot of churches don't even know how to practice, don't even know what to do with it. A lot of people, I've even heard preachers say that, bless God, it ain't even needed in the church, all right? But it's something that I feel like, this is my opinion, but it's something that I feel like you and I should do on a regular basis, all right? And it's called this, rededication. Rededication. I've had preachers call me up and say, hey, what am I supposed to do? Somebody wants to rededicate their life to the Lord, and I don't even know what to do. I'm serious. I had that phone call here less than 2 months ago. What do I do? There's a family that's wanting to come, and they want to rededicate their life to the Lord. What do I do? I don't know what to do. How did I handle that? How do I talk to them about that? What do I say to them about that? And, of course, my stand on all of that is this. First, you got to find out if they're saved. As if they're not saved, it ain't a rededication. Does everybody understand? There's a lot of folks that want to rededicate their life, but they never got saved. So you first, they need to identify, are they really saved? And a lot of people don't want to answer that question. A lot of people hide from that question, but only you can answer that question. So you've got to come to terms with it on your own, to yourself. You have to, as Paul and as the scripture says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You need to take an honest evaluation of, am I saved? And as my Sunday school class, I've taught a little bit on it. How do I know that I'm saved, preacher? Well, was there conviction? The Bible says that you and I can't come to the Lord unless we're drawn. So was there a conviction? What are you talking about, preacher, when you say conviction? Was there a time in your life where you were convinced of your sin and convinced that you needed a Savior? And for a lot of us, that was a very supernatural thing. I'm talking about your heart beating about out of your chest, your hands soaking wet, sweating, and all this. I mean, man, it was a spiritual battle that was going on in you at your salvation. And so was there conviction? Not only was there conviction, but how about this one? Is there change? I mean, I hear people tell me all the time, well, I got saved back when I was this or back when I was this, but I've lived a life of X amount of years away from God. Is that the truth, or was there never salvation? Because salvation brings a change. I profess to be saved, I don't know how many times, but when I got it, my life changed. I wasn't the same person that I used to be. And it wasn't because I decided that I was going to do things differently. It's because the Holy Spirit was now living inside of me. And when I did wrong, he said, that ain't right. You know it ain't right. I'm like, man, is everybody all right? And then chastisement. That's a word we don't like either. But listen, all of us, I think the majority of us, probably maybe not some of these kids around here, but all of us have dealt with a daddy that tore our butt up. I need somebody to help me. My dad would pull his belt off, and it would sound like, I don't know, it sounded like a tornado was coming. And then he would grab me by one hand, and he would beat me while I flew around the room. I don't know, I defied gravity many a day as I literally just floated through the room, and my dad somehow or another managed to hit me every stinking time. And me running as fast as I could, flying at times, I mean, but I got in trouble and my father corrected me. I think that's a big test in the life of a believer, is that when you stray from God, does he correct you? And you know, the scripture says that if he doesn't, then we're illegitimate children. We're not really a child of God, because a father will correct a son. Is everybody all right? So that's something for you to answer, but we're going to deal with the thing of rededication. But first we got to understand, are we saved? As we look at this tonight, the walls have been built. They have organized it, as we talked about last week, and set up boundaries, set up things in their life to assure that those things around them didn't fall back down, those walls, all right? But tonight, as we move into chapter number 9, they deal with their heart. So let's read just a little bit. There's 38 verses, and we're going to deal with all 38 verses. We're not going to read all 38 verses, but there's a lot in there that you and I are going to see from verse number 1 all the way to the last verse. But I do want to start off by reading maybe the first three or four verses if we can. The Bible says this: Now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and, say it with me, confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God, 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. So, in a 12-hour period, they spent 6 hours of it reading the law and 6 hours of it confessing and worshiping the Lord their God. All right, I need somebody to help me now. If we had a 6-hour church service, every one of you would go find a new church. If I read all 38 verses tonight, there'd be somebody in here ready to go find a new church. But they read the law for 6 hours. And then the Bible says they had a time of confession and worship that went 6 hours. I want to look at this thought of rededication because I believe that's exactly what they do right here. I hope by the end of the night that you will have a grasp and an understanding of rededicating your life to the Lord. And I pray that at the end of the night, that a vast majority of us will find our way to an altar and rededicate our lives to the Lord. Fact is that you cannot go out into the world and it not affect you. You can't even watch TV and it not affect you negatively in your spirit. And many of us have become what I call desensitized to sin that is right in our face. And what that does is it opens up a door of compromise to where we allow it into our life and it becomes a stronghold in our lives and we find ourselves years down the road with a sin that could have and should have been confessed years ago, but yet we're carrying it throughout our Christian life and wondering why the struggle is so real. Is everybody with me? So as we look at this tonight, I want you to notice the first thing, the first part of rededication, I believe is found in the first three verses here that we read tonight. The first part of rededication is a cleansing. I want you to notice a few things that we read here in the first few verses. I want you to notice, first off, their brokenness. Now, you're going to have to understand a little bit about their culture to understand this, but they were fasting. That means they were going without food. I need somebody to help me right here. It's not something that we practice today, but we should. It's biblical. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with fasting whatsoever. What a fast is you denying your flesh of something as an offering to God to receive a word or an answer to prayer or forgiveness or whatever in this, in whatever area of your life. And so when we see the word fasting in here, it ain't no little old thing. They were fasting. They wasn't running around fast. They wasn't eating. They were denying their flesh what their flesh desired. Saying, God, I'm so broken over what I've done that I'm willing to deny myself any pleasure of this earth to gain your approval and acceptance in my life. And so they were at a point of, we see their brokenness. They were fasting. They had on sackcloth. I need somebody to say amen. We ain't practicing this one. They put that sackcloth on them and it was itchy. It hurt. It was like putting a burlap sack on. Does anybody know what burlap is? It was like putting that on your body and going outside in the South Georgia heat and sweating. And I need somebody, I'm ready to get right with the Lord right now. But this is that sackcloth. You see it all through the Old Testament. They would fast, they would put sackcloth on. Basically, they were punishing themselves. Listen to me, I'm not telling us to do that. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Don't get scared that I'm telling you you gotta give up food, all right? Do I look like I give up food? We're good, all right? But what I want you to understand was they were broken to the point that, according to verse number one, they were fasting, they were in sackcloth, and they put earth upon them. And this was basically taking piles of dirt, handfuls of dirt, and putting it on them. I don't know about y'all, but they ain't nothing comfortable. about sackcloth and the thought of it, or pouring dirt on my head. This was their brokenness. They come to the realization and they seen their sin as God seen their sin. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? I'm not confusing anybody, I pray. All right? I'm not telling you to go out there and pour dirt on your head and get in burlap and not eat this week. I'm just telling you these people are demonstrating a brokenness for what they had done to God. And so they come to God in brokenness. They come to God humbly, not coming to God as if he owes us something. Not coming to God as if he owes us anything. They seen their sin. It broke their heart. It humbled them before the Lord. And it led to a separation. The Bible says in verse number 2 that the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. Now, this simply means that in the city of Jerusalem, there would have been Jews and they would have been those that weren't Jews. But the Jews were this was God's chosen people. And the reason the walls fell down, the reason all this was because of the rejection of the Jews to God's word. And so they separated themselves from anybody and everybody because it was their sin. Y'all, is everybody with me? We like to come down, man, in groups. And I love it when we come and pray together. But when you're dealing with sin, I just like to get along with God. I need somebody to hear me right here. We've got this idea that we got to confess sin to me and confess sin to the leaders in the church. You got to go tell them your life story. You don't. You and I have an interceder with the Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our high priest, and you and I can go to him, and we can go to him and confess our sins to him. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. You ain't got to go give all an account for your life to everybody in the church. They separated themselves. It was about them getting right with God. They acknowledged their sin. This is another problem I feel like we have in our churches. We won't acknowledge sin. We like to redefine it instead of acknowledging it. If God says it's wrong, then it's wrong. You can dance around it all you want to, but it's still wrong. I need somebody to help me. You can tell me all you want to. You can try to convince me all you want to that this is not black. But it's black. Ain't no sense in me and you fight about it. You can redefine it and say it's ebony, but it's. I need somebody to look at me right now. It's black. You call it whatever you want to. You can try to say it's this color or that color, but it's black. And we need to acknowledge our sin instead of trying to redefine it or trying to justify it. Well, God, I know that's a sin, but that's one of our favorite ones. I like, come on, y'all. How many of y'all throw butts up to God? Don't be lying. Hey, God, I know it's a sin, but they provoked it. They deserved it. I know I shouldn't have said that about him, but God, you know my heart, God. Yeah, he does. He does know your heart. Well, I wouldn't have done it if they hadn't have done this, or if they'd have treated me better, then I'd have treated them better. But when you and I react to something and we sin, it doesn't matter how we define it. It doesn't matter how we justify it. It's still sin. I tell people all the time, man, I joke about it. And one day it's probably going to come true, just as sure as I'm standing here. But I tell people all the time, man, sometimes people come up to you and you just want to punch them. And I tell them, man, I'm going to punch somebody. And then immediately I'm going to pray 1 John 1:9. God, I'm confessing that I should not have punched this man in the face in Jesus' name. I need somebody to help me. But that doesn't free me up from the sin of striking someone. I prayed about it. God won't let me do it, all right? You have to acknowledge it. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with God. If God says no, it's no. No matter how we try to justify it, no matter how the government tries to justify it, no matter how our friends or our family tries to justify it, it's wrong. Is everybody all right? Y'all getting quiet on me. For us to have a cleansing, we're gonna have to have a broken heart, a broken spirit towards our sin. Realize that we transgressed against God. It should be humbling. Because the fact of the matter is, if God wanted to, he could just pinch us. But yet his grace and mercy, I need somebody to help me. Don't take God's grace and mercy as to mean that he can't. We need to humble ourselves. Separate ourselves from those things that would cause us to sin. Acknowledge that we have sin and then confess. The Bible says, and they confess their sins. They stood and confessed their sins and their iniquity and the iniquities of their fathers. And so I believe the first part of rededicating my life to the Lord is I have to get clean. I got saved, and a lot of things have happened since I got saved. How many of y'all has been saved for more than a year? How many of you has been saved more than 5 years, more than 10 years, more than 15 years, more than 20 years, more than 30? Oh, I'm starting to get somewhere now, all right? Now listen, there's a lot that's taken place in all that time. There's a lot that's taken place since last Sunday. Can I get a witness? Amen. All right. So we all need a time of cleansing. I start off, the very first thing that we're going to have to do, if we're going to rededicate our life to the Lord, we're going to have to come to a place of cleansing. Number two, I notice they're commending. Let me ask you this question before we move on. Do you have a healthy view of sin in your life? What I mean by that is, do you look at sin the way God looks at it? Or do you look at sin and embrace it? If we look at sin the way God looks at it, then every one of us needs a cleansing. How many of y'all take at least one shower a day? Boy, I got scared on that one. I really didn't know how to answer that, all right? Because I mean, you just don't know about people, you know. But I'm regularly in the shower, all right? And it happens more than once a day, all right? Why? Because I need a cleansing. And we all do, all right? So do you have a healthy view of sin in your life? Number two, they're commending. Not only they're cleansing, but they're commending. I'd like to take out just some verses. I'm not going to read all of them, but I want you to notice that they recognize, first off, God as creator in verse number 6. I want you to listen. The Bible says, "Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee." They recognize him as their creator. This is their commending. See, this is what we normally do in our lives. We get saved and we say, "Lord, I want you to come into my life. Jesus, I want you to come into my life and save me. I want you to come into my heart and save me and be my Lord and Savior." But what we really want is just the Savior part, not the Lord part. And so what we do is we walk out with a ticket to heaven. Let me get me a ticket. Got to find me a ticket. We walk out with a ticket to heaven and still try to go out and live our life the way we want to live it. Right? But here, the Bible says that first off, they had a time of cleansing, and now they go to recognizing what all God is in their life. They recognize him as their creator in verse number 6. They recognize him as sovereign in verse number 7. Verse number 7, it says, "Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abraham, and broughtest him forth out of Ur, the Chaldeans, and gavest him the name of Abraham." They recognize not only God as creator, but they recognize God as or in his sovereignty. Do you realize tonight that God chose you? God created you? He has a claim to your life. I need somebody to help me. You don't just create something and it go off and do whatever it wants to. He has a claim to mine and your life. And so they recognized God as creator. They recognized his sovereignty. They recognized his promises in verse number 8. The Bible says in verse number 8, and found us his heart faithful before thee and made us a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Ike boys, all right? We'll stop with that. But his promise was to his people. And they recognize God's promises. Do you recognize the promises of God in your life? Do you recognize the sovereignty of God in your life? Do you recognize that God is your creator? Not only that, but they recognize God's compassion in their life. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, and did us see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard us their cry by the Red Sea. Go to verse number 10 for me, if you will. And show us signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and all of his servants and on all the people of his land, for thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them, so didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. They recognized the compassion of God. He heard their cry. Man, I need some help tonight. I remember a time when I come to church, I wasn't looking for God, but I was in trouble, and God heard the pleas of my heart, and God in his compassion came to where I was at. And in verse number 11, they recognized his deliverance. And thou didst divide the sea before them so that they went through in the midst of the sea of dry land. Their persecutors, thou threwest into the deeps as a stone into the mighty waters. How many of you realize that God's your creator? He is sovereign. He had made promises to you. He has shown compassion to you. He has delivered you. They recognized his guidance in verse number 12. I'm having fun. Y'all having fun. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar and in the night by a pillar of fire to give them light in the way wherein they should go. God didn't just save them. He didn't just deliver them. He didn't just have compassion, make promises. And he guided them in their walk. And listen here, when we rededicate our lives to the Lord, we have to have a time of cleansing, but we also have a time of commending where we look at God for who he really is. He is our creator. He is our sovereign. He is our promiser. He's compassionate. He is the deliverer. He is a guider. He guides our life. But he also, they recognized his provisions in verse number 13. Verse number 13, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gave us them right judgments. Y'all see that? Gave us them. He gave them something. What did he give them? Right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. I'm going to go through verse number 15, if you will, Miss Carrie. And made us known unto them thy holy Sabbath and command us them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, thy servant. And for all of y'all that still don't understand what provisions are, and gave us them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought us forth water for them out of the rock of their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give to them. And so they recognize God's provisions. They also recognize God's grace and mercy in verse number 17. If she'll put up 17, we're going to get fast. But and he refused to, or this is talking about the children of Israel and how they were rebelling against God, and they refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders, and thou didst that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. Look here. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. And so we see a God, they recognized his grace and mercy. They recognized in verse number 19, his faithfulness. It says, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. This is after everything they did against God. He never left them. I need somebody to help me right here. God's been way more faithful to me than I've ever been to him. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God in my life. He's been good to me.
when I've not always been good to him. And so they recognized his faithfulness. Verse number 21, they recognized his sustaining. He says, yea, 40 years did thou sustain them in the wilderness so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old and their feet swelled not. They didn't have the Walmart to go to. I need somebody to help me. The same clothes they walked out of Egypt with, the same shoes they walked out of Egypt with for 40 years. Their clothes and their shoes never waxed old. And the Bible says their feet swelled not. I need somebody to help me. I'm looking for some of that today. How about they recognize verse number 25, his blessings. This is where he went beyond. The Bible says they took strong cities. They took strong cities. They got what God promised them. The Bible says in a fat land and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards, olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. See, they recognize God for all of these things. Verse number 27, they recognize God. We ain't going to like this one, but we're going to preach it for his correction. It says, therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies. They kept going against God, after he'd done all of that, give them all the blessings. He says, you delivered them into the hand of the enemies who vexed them, and in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But we have to acknowledge that God corrected them. Stay with me. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, first off, we got to have a time of cleansing in our life. But we have to have a time of commending, and maybe that ain't a good word, but this is a time where we recognize who God really is in our lives. God ain't somebody that we just show up to church on Sunday morning and grab a hold of. God's not somebody that we come back on Sunday night and grab a hold of. God's not somebody that we just show up on Wednesday and grab a hold of God. If you're saved, recognize him for who he is. He's your creator. Means he should have access to you all the time. He's our sovereign. That means in the good times and in the bad times, he's still God. He doesn't change. Something's been on my mind all week long, and I'll probably end up doing a devotion on it, but something's been on my heart and been on my mind all week long was this thought. Paul, multiple times in Scripture, said this. He says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. A prisoner of Romans? A prisoner of the Jews? No. Multiple times in Scripture, Paul says this. I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Listen, Paul recognized the sovereignty of God. If I'm a prisoner, it's because God wants me to be a prisoner. I'm going to go say it on this side. Maybe somebody will get it. If I'm a prisoner, if my situation ain't what I desire it to be, it doesn't change who God is. And if I'm a prisoner, I'm not going to give Satan props for it. Paul says, if I'm a prisoner, it's because Jesus wants me to be. That's trusting in the sovereignty of God. Say, well, I don't know that I could do that. What in the world? If I'm a prisoner, but yet Joseph displays the sovereignty of God, thrown in a pit, sold into slavery, thrown into a prison, ended up in the palace, saved much people alive. A prisoner, not a Pharaoh. A prisoner, not a Potiphar. A prisoner, not of his brethren. A prisoner of God. Working in his life, being sovereign. Is everybody all right? They recognize he. They recognized him as their creator. They recognized his sovereignty. They recognized his promises, and his promises are true. You might be, what does it say? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. They recognize his compassion, his deliverance, his guidance, his provisions, his grace and mercy, his faithfulness, his sustaining, his blessings, his correction. Question for you tonight is this: do you recognize God's authority and leadership in your life? Who's running the show? See, here's a rededication. I got to get cleansed up from what I've done. But then I got to recognize who he is. And a rededication is realizing, not is recognizing who God is and allowing him to be the authority of my life. Because you make that decision. You're the one that decides how much of you God gets. He wants all of you, but ultimately you make the decision on how much God gets. I'll move on. Last, I'm done. Say amen. Rededication. We confess. There's a cleansing. We do that through confession. There's a commending. We give God recognition for who he is in our life. But then there's y'all ready? A covenant. Look at the last verse, verse number 38. One verse. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. And our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. They made a covenant. Everybody stay with me. She's all right. She ain't going to die. She can walk. She's good. She's good. They had a cleansing. They commended. They recognized God's authority in their life. A commending. Then there was a covenant. This covenant was a sure covenant. Everybody say that? This ain't one of them. This ain't one of them. How many of you has ever, how about this? How many of you has ever dealt with somebody and they told you something and you knew when they said it they were lying? I need somebody to help me. We all got them people in our lives. The moment they said it to you, you knew they were lying. This is not the same as a sure covenant. A sure covenant is you saying, God, I'm going to do this. That's a sure covenant. The Bible says because of all this, because of their cleansing, they'd gotten right, they'd gotten their hearts right, they'd recognized God's authority in their life, and they come to a decision. And God, I will perform this and this and that. We're scared to death of that. We were scared. Hey, if I asked you to come up here and sign a contract saying that you were going to serve God, every last one of you would have somewhere to be and you'd walk out the back doors. We scared to death, Jesse. Shoe about come off. We scared to death. We scared to death to write anything down or make any commitments to God. But we'll run right up there to that car dealership and say, I like that one right there, boy. It's got all the bells and whistles, and I really like it. Well, I'm glad you do, because that truck right there is worth $75,000. Well, what can you get my payments to? Don't act like that ain't how y'all deal with people, all right? What can you get my payments to? If you get my payments right, we can get your payments right. It's going to be a 35-year note. But we can get your payments to $250. Is everybody all right on a $75,000 truck? Hey, show me where to sign. I need somebody to help me. Amen. We'll sign an eight-year note on a vehicle that's 15 years old and wonder why in the world it didn't last the whole time. Get all mad about it. I'm making payments on something that's tearing up. You bought it at 15 years old and you're paying for it for 8 years. Over 20 years old by the time you get it paid off. It ain't worth nothing. I need somebody to help. Amen.
But boy, you'll sign that dotted line. Where you want me to sign this at? Y'all, don't act like I ain't, huh? You go in there to the doctor and say, well, your insurance is good, but your insurance only covers 5% of this bill. Who's going to be responsible for it? Well, I guess I will. Well, you're going to have to sign on this. Hand me the pen. But we walk into the church, say, God, you're our creator. You're everything in my life. Lord, I love you. You have full control over all my life. No, I ain't doing that now. They made a covenant, a sure covenant. It was a recorded covenant. Bible says, and write it. Whoo! It's just something about having something written out versus something. I need somebody to help me. Ever dealt with somebody and you two agreed on something, Miss Karen, and then all of a sudden they don't remember it the way you remembered it? I mean, one of my favorite commercials right now. Have y'all seen the commercial where the guy is, they got the kayaks, they're going camping, and he tells his wife, he says, did you pack the life jackets? She said, no, you were going to pack the life jackets. He said, no, you were going to pack. And they went on back and to for a minute. She said, let's roll the tape or let's go back to it. So anyhow, they throw the red flag, the challenge flag. In the NFL, all right? And they're over there at the thing, and she says, my favorite part is when you say, of course I'm not going to forget to pack the life jacket. Fact is that if it's not, come on, y'all help me now. We like to change what we said. We didn't really say it that way. You're taking it out of context. No. I wish I could give y'all an illustration of that today, but I won't. The Bible says, and they sealed it. Tonight, listen to me. I truly believe, I'm done. Dalton, come to the pen. I truly believe that every single Christian ought to make it a regular habit of rededicating their life to the Lord. I really do. I really believe that because I believe so many of us have gotten caught up in life, and we have allowed things to creep into our life that when we first got saved, we would not do. God, we're going to serve you. I'm going to do, Lord, whatever you want from me. And in a matter of a few weeks, a few months, maybe a few years, all of a sudden it's, man, I'm just going to go to church because I'm supposed to. I'll do something if somebody asks me to. I'll do something if I have to or if I'm needed. Or when we first got saved, y'all remember? God, you've done so much for me. What can I do for you? God, I'll clean the toilet. God, I'll sweep a floor. God, I'll vacuum the building. God, I'll pick up trash out in the parking lot. God, I'll cut the grass. God, whatever God wanted from you. Lord, I'll do it. Life happens. And now it's, do we have to go to church on this day? Do I have to keep the nursery? Y'all, come on now. I need somebody to help me. I think every single one of us, I ain't afraid of it. Need to find a place tonight around the altar. Start with a cleansing. Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I believe that's Psalm 66, verse 18. Start off with a cleansing. Here's the thing. Whatever you confess, He is faithful and just to forgive. So why hold anything back? As Dalton sang earlier, bring it all to the table. There's nothing He ain't seen before. Then we have to recognize who God is in our life. Who's God to you? Is he the big guy upstairs? He my buddy.
Or do we really look at God for who He is? He's our creator. He's sovereign in my life. He's made promises to me that He'll keep because He cannot lie. He's shown compassion to me. He delivered me. He's guided me. He sustained me. He's provided for me. He's corrected me. It was a difficult time when my dad tore my butt up, but I do know this. Looking back on my life, I'm thankful that I had a daddy that was involved in my life and would take a belt off and correct me. Keep me from going too far. And these people made a covenant. They said, God, we have messed up. Our fathers, our past, they have messed up. But God, we want to do right, and we want to do right by You. And so, God, we make a covenant that we are going to do right by You. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. Lord, we are thankful. Lord, for Your compassion, Your mercy, Your grace. Lord, Your provisions, Your blessing, Your guidance, Your deliverance. Lord, thankful that You're our creator, You're sovereign. God, You've worked all things together for our good. So tonight, Lord, I pray, Lord, as many have come to the altar, many are praying in their seats, but tonight, Lord, I pray that, Lord, we have first come for a cleansing. But God, in our commending, I pray that we recognize who You are in our life, Lord, and give You the authority in our life. Turn it over. God, tonight I pray that some are making a covenant with You. Rededicating their lives. God, this is what I'm going to do. I've messed it up, not been who I should be. I've not been the Christian I should have been. God, I come confessing, Lord, that I've been wrong. Lord, I come recognizing, Lord, who You are. Lord, I come vowing, making covenant with You. Lord, my life is going to change. To the best of my ability, Lord, I'm going to stay right. Lord, I'm not going to get to a place in my life where my knees aren't used to bending. My hands aren't used to going up. My prayers aren't used to coming out. God, I'm going to get to a place where I stay on my knees regularly. I pray to You without ceasing. I praise You continually. Lord, as I offer myself to You to serve, Lord, help us tonight. Bless us. Continue to work. Just because the service is over, Lord, doesn't mean that You're through working. Lord, I pray that we remain tender. Allow You, for our heart to remain tender. Allow You to speak to us, to help us. God, that we may be all that we should be for You. All that we can be for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.